Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm so excited that you're here. So when this episode releases, we will have already passed the inevitable January 19th, which is when Congress is deciding if TikTok is going to be banned or not. So right now, the jury's out. Like the results are in, if you will. I've been really enjoying this past week, just seeing all the different TikToks of people talking about like going over to Red Note, this other app. I don't know. I've been down like some deep, dark TikTok holes, and I don't know what the future holds for TikTok, but it definitely had me reflecting on my relationship with TikTok, my journey on TikTok. And I did put one video up where I was just talking about how the app has changed my life. And that sounds pretty drastic, but it's true. Behind me, you can't see all of them, but you'll see it says NBC News, CBS Mornings, and the Drew Barrymore Show. Those features and those segments that I went onto these networks and these shows would have never happened without that app, which is wild to say. That app has connected me with creators all over the nation. Like, I flew to LA to go on Real Pod with Victoria Garrick Brown because of TikTok. There's been so many amazing things that have come from that app, and I will be very sad if it goes away. But what I was going to say for today's Find Food Freedom win, we're going to call it Wins of the Week. I did put a video up on TikTok just saying like, hey, let's take a walk down memory lane. When did you find me? What video made you follow along? Because we have over 670,000 followers on that app, have built this amazing online community. It's such a fun, carefree place to post, like just a different vibe than Instagram, you know, of course, Facebook. I don't even really go on Facebook. I should probably shut that down. But okay, so I posted this video, and then we have hundreds of comments of people just explaining like when they found us, what video it was. And it was really sweet. And I want to read some of these. I've been screenshotting like all of the comments, because if the app disappears, not going to be able to read these. So here's just a few. They're very short. This one says, I've been following you since close to the beginning, and I've learned so much from you. I'm seeing an intuitive eating dietitian now, and we're reading the book together. Thanks for all you have taught me over the years. So cool. This one says, I was very self-conscious about my looks and my eating habits. You helped me make sense of it and helped me not be ashamed of wanting to eat. I followed you since 2021. This one says, I heard about intuitive eating through this app from you and one other creator. Your content has changed my life. I feel like a normal person because I don't think about food all of the time anymore. I send your podcast to my friends that want to stop obsessing over food. Mind you, these comments always blow my mind because these are people that have never worked with our team of dietitians. I've never spoken to directly. They say words as if, like, they say, you changed my life, and they've only watched our content, which I think is such a good reminder to me to continuously show up, because you have to remember, when I'm recording this podcast, I'm talking to a computer screen. When I am creating content, I'm talking to my phone screen. And it, even though, sure, you see numbers of thousands or hundreds of thousands on a phone, your human brain can't comprehend that that means there's actually that many people consuming the content. And so when people leave these types of comments, it is so heartwarming. Okay, I'm going to do one more, and then we're going to get into today's episode. Your account and your candid approach candid approach changed my life. I wanted to try intuitive eating, but didn't know where to start. You made it seem really doable. My relationship with food is finally good. Thank you so much. Insane. So grateful for the app. So grateful for all of social media and even this podcast. We get to reach thousands of people through an audio platform, and just incredible. Very, very thankful for the virtual connection that exists, and being able to connect with people all over the world. I've spoken to people in, oh gosh, UK, New Zealand, Egypt, we had a client, Lebanon, Spain. Like, if you would have told me that 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you and been like, there's no fucking way that we're going to reach that many people. But it's been a wild, wild ride. Okay, so today's episode going to be a rapid fire, but I think I'm going to make it a little more concentrated on postpartum because I did a Q&A box like a week or two ago, and last week's episode was a rapid fire, and I was like, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do another rapid fire. Well, as I'm going through these hundreds of responses, there are so many postpartum obstacles. So the question box had said, write in your biggest obstacles related to food and body image. Now, please know, if you are not currently pregnant, if you are not currently postpartum, if you don't have kids, this can still relate to you. If you think that for any reason that you might want to have a baby or birth a child, save this episode. Also would recommend sending this episode to somebody who is freshly postpartum, who maybe is in their third trimester and is starting to think about, hey, what's that fourth trimester going to look like? What's postpartum going to look like? Postpartum is the trenches, if I'm being honest, and I'm going to mesh a little bit of my lived experience with my professional experience here. So before I get into the postpartum things here, and I have many, many episodes that dig deep into my postpartum experiences, so you can go back and listen to those. But I do have two children. I have a 2.5-year-old. I have a 9-month-old. My first birth was a unmedicated vaginal delivery with a stage 2 tear. My second delivery from my 9-month-old was a scheduled C-section due to a high risk pregnancy with placenta previa. So very different birth experiences. And I can honestly say different pregnancies, and my body just reacted very differently to them. And I think some of that, I'll never know if it was, you know, your first pregnancy versus your second pregnancy. Everyone always says, hey, your body gets bigger quicker with the second pregnancy because it's used to the expansion, right? Like, your hips are wider, your pelvic floor has, you know, less strength, depending on pelvic floor PT and stuff, but it's gone through more trauma, right, of birthing a child before. So my body reacted very differently, and I had a 4-finger gap of diastasis recti with my second, which I'm still actively healing, and I'm 9 months postpartum. So I share all of that just because I'm bringing that perspective into today's conversation. But I also want to put a massive disclaimer that as we talk about body image in the postpartum space, that I recognize my thin privilege and that I reside in a straight size body, because to society, my body looks, air quotes, normal. So, and we talk about this on a lot of episodes, and this is really important to grasp. And this is something I definitely did not grasp when I started this work years ago, is that every single human on this planet can have body image issues, right? And body image struggles and body image obstacles and a unpleasant relationship with their body. And it is important to note that those that reside in larger bodies are going to have discrimination and oppression towards them simply for existing in their body. So for me, I'm not going to have discrimination against my body because I reside in a body that society deems normal, even though I'm 9 months postpartum and I know that my body's not the same, the world is not going to discriminate against me. And that is very important in this conversation, because I obviously don't know when people write in about body image, specifically postpartum as well. I don't know what your body looks like. I don't know if you reside in a straight size body or a larger body. And that is a whole thing that needs to be discussed and needs to come into the conversation. Because there's no way that that's not a part of body image. So I just want to say that as a disclaimer, that when I speak on my lived experience, I am speaking from a straight size body. If we're talking about larger bodies, specifically with trying to conceive and fertility, please follow my good friend Nicola at Fat Positive Fertility on Instagram. Okay. Fat Positive Fertility. Nicola is incredible, and she resides in a larger body. She uses her lived experience and pairs that with fertility care and pregnancy and all of the things. So highly, highly recommend that. Okay, that account. Okay, so let's get into today's. I'm just going to kind of read these off and then go into my notes of like what I wanted to talk about today. Because I do want to make this rapid fire where I do want to give like very concise, tangible takeaways. So if you are postpartum, if you're in the thick of postpartum, if you're about to be postpartum, this goes out to you. But let's talk about what people are wrote in for me. Okay. Postpartum, specifically my lower belly, which we're going to talk about. Okay. Keep going here. Adjusting to my postpartum body and emotional eating. Diastasis recti gap from my pregnancies. It's still making me look 6 months pregnant with like a very sad emoji. Postpartum body, I do not recognize. Bounce back culture of postpartum and not getting my body back. 3 weeks postpartum, struggling with accepting my new body. I failed at the bounce back culture of postpartum and this cultural ideal. First year postpartum body, after weight loss prior, gaining weight in the postpartum. So these, I'm just like shuffling through all of these. There are so many more about postpartum. And again, I did not say that this needed to be a postpartum box, like question box, but this is what I kept seeing. And so I was like, okay, I think instead of just doing random ones and throwing a postpartum one in, I think it could be important to address this. So first of all, we have to recognize, and a lot of times that when I cover postpartum body image, this message is applicable for every single human that has a body. A lot of postpartum body image work is body image work. There's some nuances to it, of course, with having a baby and how your body's changing. But at the core of it, it's body image work. So when we think about body image, I want you to think about, okay, what is body image? It's the relationship that we hold with our body, right? And it is so much more than that. But if we very simply put it, it's the relationship that we hold with our body. It's important to recognize that when you have a child, your body will never be the same. And for some of us that hear that, we need to grieve that. Like, and for some of us, you may have been farther on your body image work where it's like, I accept that. Like, I understand that. And everyone's going to be at a different point. But I'd say this not to scare you, but your body will never be exactly the same. Because when you build and birth an entire human, your body has to change. Your hips have to widen. Like, to get a baby out of your birth canal, things have to happen that are going to make it different. And so one thing I do want to address here is this comparison trap of social media. And I remember seeing these videos freshly postpartum for myself, which as an intuitive eating counselor and a dietitian and someone who does this for a living, I was still falling victim to this. Because obviously when you're consuming pregnancy and postpartum content, that's what you're going to be given on your newsfeed. So I remember seeing like all these videos of these like cute like perfect, and by perfect, I'm using heavy air quotes of like perfect bounce back culture moms in these tiny little bodies in these perfect little Lululemon outfits on a sunny day, walking their baby in the bassinet who's sleeping peacefully and being like, I'm 3 days postpartum or I'm 3 weeks postpartum. Not everyone's postpartum experience has to be postpartum anxiety or depression. Meanwhile, I'm like naked in my bed. My boobs are dripping milk. I'm like bleeding out my vagina. I'm like incredibly depressed and I'm consuming that content. Do you think that's helpful? No, definitely isn't. So one thing I wrote in my notes, like after reading all of these Q&A boxes, are like, we need to be mindful of the comparison trap of social media, specifically postpartum, because when you are consuming pregnancy and postpartum content, that's what you're going to be served. So you're going to be getting a lot of different types of that. Now, there is also the helpful postpartum content. Like for me, hearing other moms that were struggling with postpartum anxiety or depression, like that's really helpful because then I feel less alone knowing that other people are struggling too. But we don't get to choose what comes across our newsfeed, right? We don't get to choose what content comes up. And so I want you to be very intentional about the content that you consume, be very mindful. And if a piece of content makes you feel like shit, we need to stop looking at it. We need to report it. We need to remove it, mute it, block it, whatever you need to do to keep yourself safe. Okay. Now, like this secondary, you know, someone wrote in here in the question box is like this bounce back culture, right? And I feel like we could do an entire episode specifically just on this, but there's diet culture, right? Which diet culture is the pursuit of thinness, the pursuit of intentional weight loss, that a smaller body is better, more worthy, more loved, healthier, etc., right? These false beliefs. And so then there's bounce back culture from postpartum, which it's like diet culture on steroids. So it's like, okay, there's the diet culture beliefs that I just rattled off. And then bounce back culture is like, hey, you just birthed a baby. Okay, well, a few weeks out, you should be back to normal. You should be having sex. You should be working out. You should be all the shoulds on top of that. Let me stop you right here. Your baby, technically from conception to birth, was 10 months, which I don't know why people say 9 months. You grew a human, you grew a brain, you grew a spine, you grew a heart, you grew lungs, you grew a full ass baby for 10 months. It took 10 months to grow it. It's going to take at least 10 months to start to feel semi-normal again. And when you look at some of the reproductive endocrinologists, but also like the OBGYNs of Instagram and TikTok. Dr. Stacy's a great one. There's a lot of great ones out there. They do all these posts talking about like your hormones don't even go back to normal until like 2 years postpartum. So this bounce back culture, this idea of being back to normal by a few weeks postpartum or by your 6 week, you know, appointment with your OBGYN is ridiculously unrealistic. And so I love to remind people it takes 10 months to grow this child. It's going to take at least that amount and then some to start to feel a semblance of normalcy. Now, please hear me when I say there are people that feel way more normal and get back to a place of feeling physically, mentally, emotionally great before that. So that's not saying that you can't do that or that can't be your reality. But I think it's also important to have a fair expectation of, well, if that's not my experience, it doesn't mean I'm less than. It doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with my body. It's everybody's journey is wildly individualized and different. And I can say, you know, thinking about if we're talking about my current day, I will be 9 months postpartum here in like a week or two. I am just now starting to feel more like myself again. And if I break that down physically, truly like a week ago, I went to my first yoga class. I went to one yesterday. It finally feels safe to move my body. Recovering from a C-section was very different than a vaginal birth. And I'm just now getting to a place where like I'm craving movement. Movement feels good. Like walking feels really good. And excited about movement again. It took me a while to get there. Again, I'm going to be 9 months postpartum. Then when we think about mentally, I've shared so many different episodes. You know, you can go back to Live, Laugh, Lexapro. I did a Lexapro update. I did a psych medication update of switching meds. And I need to do another one because I now not only am on Wellbutrin, but added Zoloft in. So when we look at my mental health, things are definitely still a work in progress. But recognizing that I need to advocate for myself and get support and work on that. So for me, that's a win, even though I need support with medication, but I'm so much more aware of that this time around versus my first time postpartum. I was not. I look back at that and I thought I didn't have anxiety and I'm like, holy shit. Like a lot of times that's how it is in life, right? Like when you're in the thick of it, you don't really realize it. And then when you come out the other side, you're like, whoa, didn't realize it was that bad. One thing that I wanted to address, someone had said like in my lower body, or excuse me, my lower belly, another person had wrote in about diastasis recti and like looking pregnant. And as someone who has diastasis recti, first of all, every woman experiences diastasis recti with pregnancy, usually in the third trimester, because your body is expanding so much, so your abdominals are going to split. And then as you birth the baby and you recover and you heal, traditionally the majority of people, their abdominals come back together and heal. Like with my first, I had a 2-finger gap and it healed very easily, swiftly, like didn't have to do much. This time around, again, 4-finger gap, as I went to pelvic floor physical therapy, and I'm still continuing to slowly work on that. It's vastly different than my first, where now again, I'm coming to this conversation with thin privilege. I reside in a straight size body, but my body is very different this time around from post C-section with diastasis recti than my first. Like I do have coning, and a pooch in my belly, not because I'm saying that's a bad thing or I don't like it or I'm speaking negatively. I'm speaking matter of fact. Like my like jeans, for example, the size that I would usually wear, it fits my hips and it fits my legs, but my stomach has this pooch that truly looks like I'm pregnant. And it's because of the abdominal wall is still pulled apart and it's creating this coning, right? And so I'm going to pelvic floor. I went to pelvic floor PT now with yoga and some of the breathing exercises and stuff, working on, you know, healing that. And I'm still allowed to be like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't like this. And I think that's where, like, when we look at body image work with postpartum specifically, body image work is not about looking at your body and being like, I fucking love my body. It's about being able to look at your body, feel neutral or accept it, allow yourself to sit in the discomfort, allow yourself to be honest, and learn how to be kind and compassionate to yourself. So like, for example, when I try on jeans, it's really frustrating and it's easy for me to want to bash my body or get down on my body because I don't fit into jeans well right now, like because my legs and my hips are different than my belly. So like I have to get a bigger size for my belly, but then the jeans look big. It's awkward. And I, first, like when I started, I'd be like, oh, this is so annoying. Like I fucking hate this. But I'm able to pull myself out and recognize like, I'm not mad at my body. I don't hate my body. I'm allowed to be frustrated and feel discomfort and be like, this sucks. But I'm able to bring it back to self-compassion and like, look what my body did. I birthed 2 humans. I had a major abdominal surgery that cut through 7 layers of, you know, stomach and things in my uterus. So it's going to take time. And if you didn't have a C-section, and if you don't have diastasis recti postpartum, looking at your belly in general, like the bottom part of your belly, aka closer to where your uterus sits, it is very normal for this part of your body to be swollen, right? To be larger because your uterus grew to the size of a watermelon. And now it is working its way back to normal. So it's so important to note, like, doesn't, and I mean normal as in like your uterus shrinking back down to like a non-pregnant size, right? It's not holding a baby in there anymore. So these are all things to consider. And with that, you might be like, okay, Sammy, yes, like I logically understand this. I know this, but I'm still struggling. And I think one thing that when we do body image work with people, whether they're postpartum or not, but specifically I'm going to go postpartum in this episode, is treating yourself or giving yourself the compassion or the support that you would give to a loved one that is going through this. So I wrote down an exercise here that I want to encourage you to do if you are postpartum and you are struggling with your body image. I want you to get out an old school notebook or paper and a pen, and I want you to write a love letter or like a support letter to a loved one. So I want you to first, let's close your eyes and think about a loved one. Think about a friend, a sister, whoever, right? Maybe they gave birth, maybe they didn't. But if you can imagine them being pregnant and giving birth, and if you were to write a support letter to them, let's say they're in the end of their third trimester and they're about to give birth and they are so scared for what's about to come with postpartum, I want you to write a letter to them. Or I want you to take what serves you, leave the rest. So like, let's give another scenario. Think of this loved one or this person in the trenches of postpartum. They're coming to you saying, I hate my body. I'm so uncomfortable. I can't even like believe what I see when I look in the mirror. I, you know, all the things that maybe you've thought or experienced, I want you to write a letter to them. How would you support them postpartum? What would you say to them? What do they need to hear? I find that with body image work, when we remove ourselves from it for just a bit and we write that letter to them, then when we read it back, we can center ourselves and we can say like, oh, this is what I needed to hear. But it is so hard sometimes to recognize what we need to hear when we're thinking about ourselves. It's so hard to be compassionate to ourselves, but we can offer it to other people. And so this can be very healing. This can be like a step in the right direction of offering yourself that self-compassion. Because oftentimes when I sit with, you know, people in session, they'll say, I would tell her she's a superhuman. I would tell her, I'm so sorry that you're feeling this uncomfortableness and this discomfort, and I want to sit with you, and I know this sucks. And it's not going to be like this forever. You're like in the trenches of postpartum, right? Like your hormones will continue to shift back to normal. You will physically heal. You will sleep again. Like thinking about those trenches of the new postpartum time and how much, so much of that discomfort and so much of that sleeplessness and so much of that life-changing, really difficult time can easily be scapegoated onto our body and just hate our body because there's so much anxiety and change and stuff going on. So I want you to think about how you would write a letter or what you would say, or I want you to do it to a loved one who is freshly postpartum. And then I want you to read it to yourself. And I want you to soak in those words. And at the end of the day, when it comes to bodies, it doesn't matter if you birthed a human or not. If you believe that larger bodies are less than and smaller bodies are better, it doesn't matter if you birthed a human, it's going to be difficult when our body changes. And so I really want to encourage you to get support from professionals who can help you with this, who can help you find a place of compassion, who can help you get to a place of acceptance, who can help you get to a place of then engaging in behaviors physically, mentally, emotionally that are going to support your mental and physical health. And our team at Find Food Freedom would be honored to do that and to be that support system for you. You can click the link in our show notes below. You can go to Instagram, anywhere you can find Food Freedom online. You will find the link to get your insurance benefits checked and get support from our team. It is so important to have support in the postpartum season. And when it comes to nourishing yourself, when it comes to body image, a registered dietitian can be such a helpful tool during this season. So again, you can click the link in the show notes below, or you can go to bit.ly/FFF insurance. Get your benefits checked. We are licensed in 22 states. And if you do not have coverage with our team for any reason, we do gift you a free month of our membership, which includes 3 live coaching calls. So that's 1 month of support completely free. And we do that because we really want to ensure that everyone in our community has support, and that budget or whatever the reason, we don't want that to be standing between you and your need for support. So if you are a postpartum mama listening to this, please know you will not be in the trenches forever. We have to allow time for our body to heal physically, to heal mentally. You are a new human. When you go through birthing a human, I always say it's like a death and a rebirth of yourself. You are never going to be the same physically, mentally, and emotionally. And once you accept that and stop fighting this diet culture idea of like, I need to get back to who I was, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally, then you can really embrace this new version of yourself and blossom and feel more aligned with this new version of yourself. So thank you so much for being here. I am sending so much love and kindness and self-compassion to you, especially in the postpartum. It is such a difficult, difficult season, and you will get through this. And sending you so much love. So please, if you enjoyed this episode, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a comment of what you want to see more of. The more I hear from you, the more I can help you. And I look forward to chatting with you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.